Oh, shit. Welcome back to the Black Art Podcast with me, Lloyd.
Me, Jake.
I love that Jake opened, his opening line was, oh, shit.
Sorry. I do apologize. I had to click a notification that said, will you allow Lloyd Barnes to record your voice and use your digital likeness?
Didn't really say that. Digital likeness.
No.
I say likeness because it may not be you. For everyone at home, I think the chances are you're probably listening to this as opposed to watching it, because getting the edits out sort of put me against the clock. But Jake has shaved off his man beard.
He'll be back in a week, don't worry.
If I ever grew a beard like yours, it would take me like 3,000 years to grow it back. Did you clean shave?
No. I went down in layers. So at first I trimmed it. You know, I was happy with that for a day or two. And then I had to go Lemmy for a little while. Wolverine.
Why?
And then I wanted a mustache, like I was in some kind of Mexican cartel for a couple of days. So I had that too.
That's so badass, dude. Was it like a little third life crisis?
Yeah, no, I just do that every couple of months.
Shed your skin.
I like having a mustache every now and again. It's like, I don't like it enough to permanently look like a sex offender, but I like it enough to every now and again look like an 80s cop doing cocaine.
I got it. It's like the double red herring. Pretend that you're dressing like a sex offender so nobody thinks that or realizes you actually are a sex offender. Like,
that's the one. Hiding in plain sight. Yes. Yeah, I painted my face red.
Oh, man. So how's your week been creatively?
Pretty good. I'm using creativity as a distraction just from life in general. So usually that means it's very, very focused, very in the tunnel. And there's only one direction to go, which is try and make cool stuff.
Which is art, man.
Yeah, whether you fail or not, at least you tried. And even if you make something shit, that's pretty cool.
No, there's no, honestly, this is the most cliche thing. You know, like when you're at school, it's like there's no such thing as a stupid question. Yeah. I for years, I've been very fortunate to be privy to people's submissions to all the major badge companies. And I rarely see a stupid idea. Mm-hmm. Like, if any, I think there's merit to almost every, even, yeah, I mean, I can't think of an idea there's no such thing as a shit idea. I really believe that.
No, I 100% agree. And it's like, I mean, any kind of creativity. I don't like it when someone watches a movie and just says, that was awful, that was bad. Because, you know, someone may very well have put their heart and soul into that with very little budget, asking their friends to help them be in it, you know, staying up late. It was a creative project. It was like something that they embarked upon to make. And it's like, I'm not going to distill it down to that was awful, because that it was something that someone did with their time and they put out. It's just like,
yeah,
do what you gotta do, man.
Dude, I'm looking at my desk now. I have a bunch of, I was working on some tutorial ideas, and I have a drawer full of gimmicks that don't work, are subjectively or objectively terrible. Like, I can't bring myself to ever throw any like prototype or ever any little mini gimmick out, because at the time I may say to myself contradictively, this is crap, what am I doing? But normally what I'll do is, even if I'm halfway through making it, I'll finish making it and I'll be like, I know this is crap for now, I know this is not good, but I'm going to put it over here, and then I'll come back to it in a year or 6 months or whatever, and then suddenly it'll spark something.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes off to become like my best performing video on YouTube is the Sharpie through card, where you move it through the card as well. Yeah. And that was an idea I had, I think, in 2016, the very genesis of it. I sent it to Nicholas Lawrence to help. I was like, Nick, I'm terrible at making gimmicks. Can you help me build this for me? Because I was just so terrible at the time. He's, and then so sat on it because nothing was like, and then eventually it came back around, and, you know, but that, in my head, was like a terrible idea.
It's crazy, isn't it? It's crazy. Some of my favorite things I've ever created have been sitting in a drawer for 6 months, and I come back and go, actually, you know, that idea wasn't too bad.
Yes, yes.
It's when there's something that gets you excited about it again, you know that there's something there for everyone to be excited about again. Because if you revisit it, you're out of that headspace where you're like, I hate everything I make. I'm awful. And you're seeing it kind of like, not with new eyes, but you're seeing it from a perspective of, what is this thing? Oh, it's that thing. Oh, that's actually quite cool.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. I've been submerging myself a little bit in other people that are creative or like creative media the last week or two. I normally don't do this. For me, creativity is a very solitude thing. Mm. Normally creativity for me will come from inspiration, like, not like I've said this before, like watching a movie or like landscapes on audio. But Javier got me on to this, the Rick Rubin book. Have you heard about this? You know Rick Rubin, who's this? So if anyone doesn't know who Rick Rubin is, he's this like creative machine that works with musicians, singers, songwriters, rappers, rock stars to produce some of the best, most notable albums ever made. And I don't think he's even a musician. Like, he can't play any instruments or anything.
No, I don't think so.
But he just has this ability, this innate ability to bring out the creative energy from people. And anyway, he's released a book, and it's an audiobook as well. So Javier was like, oh, dude, I downloaded this audiobook and listened to it. And so I did the same thing. Because he said he listened to it in a day. So it was just like brain food. And I'll tell you guys the name of it now, because I need to open up my Audible. It's called, I don't know if you've heard about this, have you?
No, I haven't heard about it, but I love books like that. So I think I have two Audible credits that I haven't used yet. So I'll take a look as well.
Okay. It's called The Creative Act by Rick Rubin.
Okay.
And I started listening to it on the plane back from Miami. And it helps not just to like unlock your creativity, but also to sort of give you confidence in your creativity.
Yeah.
I suppose, and make you feel justified. And now that sounds very like soppy, but justified in your creativity. And I don't know, sometimes even like I feel fairly like established that I create, like I'm in my own way, like artistic as I live in. Like I earn my living artistically. I still get these days where I doubt 100% that I can create anything, and that I feel like a fraud. And the book goes a long way to alleviating some of that like anxiety or imposter syndrome.
Yeah, I get that 100%. And there's books like that that you come across every now and again, where every couple of years you have to listen to it again because of the motivation it gives you.
Yes.
Coming from a writing background, I've probably got in rotation about 4 or 5 books that I will pull out every now and again when I'm just not feeling as creative.
Really?
Yeah. And sometimes they don't even necessarily have anything at all to do with the industry that I'm working in or the format that I'm working in. But it's that essence of like creativity, motivation. You know, what's it called? Shoe Dog, the book about Nike, is like amazing. One of my favorite books of all time is by an excellent journalist called David Kushner, and it's called Masters of Doom, and it's about John Romero and his the other founders of id Software, who made Doom and a bunch of other like first person shooter games in the 80s. That is one of the best books I've ever read in my life, and the audiobook is amazing too. And it's just about them being absolute wasters in a garage making video games, and suddenly they're billionaires driving around Lamborghinis. Stuff like that is amazing for motivation and creativity.
Dude, can you send me the titles of some of those books or put them in the Facebook group?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Any that get you going. Yeah, sometimes for me, something like that is much more like this Rick Rubin thing. It doesn't necessarily tell you how to be creative, but it's just that. It gives you this urge to be creative. It doesn't say like, okay, step one, do 3 handstands and look at the world upside down from 4 different perspectives. Da, da, da. Now you'll be. It's not that sort of thing. All the, you know, is stuff you can take from it. It's just more of like you read it and then you've just got this drive from reading it, and you're like, oh, and everything sort of starts to make sense afterwards. Yeah. Yeah. a couple more things, right, though, is as always, Harry Mack, listening to Harry Mack freestyle. Have you ever heard him on YouTube? The freestyle
yeah,
of Harry Mack?
I was watching him literally yesterday on Omegle and the Seth Rogen Teenage Mutant Ninja
Turtles. I watched it yesterday. Oh, every time you read the comments to Harry, do you know I had tickets to a show in Swansea last year? And I couldn't go. Well, I could have gone, but I had no one to go with. And because I was like proper in my like alcohol recovery phase, I didn't want to go to an old haunt of mine, which is a rock club called Sin City. And then I'd be surrounded by like, you know, people all living the dream. So I didn't go. But yeah, he's coming back to Europe, man. We should totally go and see him. But
yeah, I'm 100% down.
Every time you look at one of his videos, people will always comment that it's like magic. And for anyone that hasn't seen Harry Mack, he's a freestyle rapper. If you ever thought like Eminem in 8 Mile was like the best freestyler in the world, this guy is nothing. It's like he's got three alien brains inside his head, right? Mm. Like he will go to people on the streets, he'll have them say, give me three random difficult words, and then he'll do a freestyle rap to them. But it always sounds like a perfectly made song, and he'll incorporate the words, but he also like start describing the clothes they wear, the things they said as they meet him, and the things they're doing or talking about at the same time as the whole rap. And there's something about that which is magic, even though you know how it's done, right? This is the interesting thing, right? Everyone knows that he is just rhyming words and connecting dots to a beat. That's how it works, right? That's the trick to it. That's how it works. You tell him a word like, I don't know, coconut, and he will rhyme it with donut. No, but you know what I mean? That's all it is. He's looking for two words that rhyme together, and he puts them to a beat, and then he'll find some extra kicker. The kicker is usually the clothes they wear, as we'll describe some. So there's no major mystery to it, but the end result is magic.
Yeah. And I mean, when you watch some of those videos where he's actually on the street, it looks like a magic video, like a special. There's people putting their hands on their heads and running away.
Yes, he gets the same David Blaine crazy Dex style reactions. And there's a parallel to be drawn so much there, but it reminds me, whenever I watch him, it reminds me of Penn and Teller. Because they don't do street magic like that. But they will show you behind the curtain of the Wizard of Oz. They will show you how the engine works. They will slow down the propellers of the helicopter and explain that's how it's floating to a caveman. But the end result is still the same. It's still magic. And I think it just brings up an interesting question. Now, we speak about this so often about creating real magic. And this kind of goes against like the ethos of the entire podcast, but it's only watching Harry Mack again recently that makes me go this direction. But it's like, are they not experiencing real magic? Right?
Yeah.
He's not even doing a trick. He's not even creating an illusion. He is literally doing what he says he's doing. He's rhyming words incredibly well, but there's no illusion there. But they are, I feel they're experiencing magic. And I say that because the reactions are literally like reactions from a street magic special. And people in the comments comment down below, he's like a magician. This is like watching the magic. How is he doing this?
Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it? It's like that distilled, almost any kind of performance can evoke that reaction where it might as well be magic.
Yeah.
Even something as stupid as a huge fan of a certain actor at Comic-Con going and seeing them, and just saying hi to them, or they say the line that they said in a film, that they will, like, the reaction on their face is like they've just witnessed the most amazing magic trick. But I know that's a little bit different than what you're talking about. I do realize
it's in the same vein. So my question is, how important is hiding the secret? Even though I say I try and keep the suspension of disbelief as long as possible, really, how important is it?
You know, this is my stock answer. It depends what you're trying to do, like what the point of the performance is, doesn't it?
Are you trying to entertain? Are you trying to make them believe, or are you just trying to I don't know. It's very, I don't think there's a definitive answer. I just think it's very interesting to like mull it over.
Yeah.
You know, what's it called when you have like a glass of wine, you just let it aerate?
Breathe.
Yeah, just the tannins
activate. Just
yeah, yeah. But two more things. The other one was, you know, the guy, Diary of a CEO on YouTube?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He has, was it yesterday, he had Will.i.am from the Black Eyed Peas on there.
Right.
Yeah, I know. I for some reason, I ended up clicking on it, and it talks loads about creativity. The opening segment, the first part of it, is all about how he's creative, why he's creative, the differences in creativity. And a lot of what he says, in like the latter half or like the middle-ish bit of the episode, is a bit preachy and I don't know, what's the word? He seems to be, I don't know, I wasn't as captivated by it. But the first part, at least so far, because I'm only like halfway in now, just over halfway, was very heavily about creativity. And there was some stuff that really resonated with me, or some stuff that made my ears prick up. So another piece of media for you to look at is that, if you are interested.
Yes. Can I give one more recommendation?
Yes, please.
My recommendation is, if you ever used to watch a TV show called Mythbusters with Jamie Hines and Adam Savage. Adam Savage still does amazing stuff on YouTube, where he makes little models or little devices and things like that. He put out a book about 3 years ago, maybe, called Every Tool's a Hammer, about creativity and DIY creation and making things, which is perfect for magic.
Oh, I have to check that out.
Yeah,
I've heard that. Is that a common phrase, or did he coin that?
I think it's like a kind of common ethos, you know, just get the job done. Every tool's a hammer.
Yeah, I swear by that rule, mate. I'm looking at the gimmicks around me, and I've made gimmicks out of. I won't even get into it yet. the last thing was, I'm a massive fan of Nas, the rapper. Seen him live, like sick. And his latest album drop is called Magic 2. And there's not really a lot about magic, as with most people who talk about magic, like Sage Francis and stuff, like they don't really know about magic. But there's a line in there that I was listening to this morning, and he just talks about, what's he say? I hand you a king of diamonds, snap my fingers, look, it's inside your pocket. And I always find it fascinating, and we've spoken about this before, about how lay people... He talks about the Magic Castle in there as well, getting like a VIP suite to the Magic Castle for a week and stuff. Yeah.
It's bizarre.
He does like dip his toes into it a little bit. But I always find it fascinating that what tricks laymen think of, or think like a magician would do, that are just in the general consensus, the conscious of the consensus. So I thought, you know, if that's the trick that he's, either he thinks he's seen that trick, or he has seen that trick, or he's seen something like that and then got it confused, or he hasn't seen a trick and he thinks that will be the ultimate trick. But it makes me think, obviously there's so many ways you could do it. You could load the King of Diamonds into his pocket, give him, turn over a double with a dupe King of Diamonds, change it into a blank card, and then, you know, say boom, it's in your pocket, or change, you know, or you could have the card completely vanish from his hand, whatever. But yeah, just interesting, just stuff out there to submerge yourself in. But I found it anyway. I found it the last week I wasn't feeling too creative. This week I put myself in amongst that stuff.
Oh, and good.
I feel very, 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 very creative.
Good. And I didn't even realize Nas was still making music. So, you know.
Dude, he's dropped 5 albums in the last couple of years, and they're all incredible. Like,
trying to think incredible. Of the last song that I listened to by Nas. If Hip Hop Should Die Before I Wake, I'll put an extended clip inside my AK, roll to every station, murder the DJ.
He's incredible.
He's great.
He's like a magician.
From what I remember.
I had seen him in NAS Festival, National Adventure Sports Show. And so NAS at NAS. That's a good one.
Nice. Next gig at NASA.
that joke was nasty.
No. Yeah, I know.
See, Harry Mack. There we go. Eat your heart out.
Yeah, people should definitely look up Harry Mack, even if it's just their most recent video he did with Seth Rogen and Ice Cube, because that was great.
Yeah, yeah. Ice Cube is literally blown away. He's like, you are a master.
Yeah, yeah. And besides all the weird conspiracy stuff, I'd love Ice Cube.
Yeah, 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 man. Oh, man. Everyone go and watch Harry Mack. He's the closest thing to a magician. He's the that I've ever seen that doesn't do magic. But I literally feel like I've watched a magician. It's actually bananas.
It's weird that you brought that up, because I was literally binging the last couple of videos of his I haven't watched yesterday.
We always end up watching the same stuff, though. Like, we were watching Wren recently.
Yeah. Is that guy Welsh?
Yes. Yeah. And now he lives in Brighton, doesn't he?
Yeah, because I thought you'd done some kind of app-based magic trick on me, or like some weird YouTube link, because you sent me a link like, by the way, this is good. I clicked on it and it was a video I'd just been watching the night before. So I was like, is this some kind of link that opens up the last YouTube video you've watched or something? I was like, Lloyd's came up with this amazing trick.
There is, I think you can send people a link which will give them like the historical previous video or something.
It was like that. I remember ages ago on Facebook, people used to like send like, watch out for this person, and you click on it, it go back to your homepage.
Yeah, watch out for this person, a diddler. Yeah. It'd just be you with your mustache.
And dude, don't rock it, man. Whenever I do a Freddie Mercury kind of Halloween costume, it kills.
Have you actually done a Freddie Mercury Halloween costume?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Oh, I need to
look damn good.
Photographic evidence of this.
I will find some photographic evidence, don't you worry. So did you have any kind of ideas for a subject for this episode, which is episode 21, by the way? We're legal to drink in America. Would you like me to tell you what I want to talk about?
I would love for you to tell us what to talk about, because I don't have any ideas.
Idea gone, brain empty. So earlier this week, I posted in the Facebook group, which you can find literally by just searching the Black Art Podcast on Facebook. And you have to answer a question or two to get in, but it's literally just like, what is Lloyd Barnes' name?
Lloyd Barnes.
Yeah, but people still get it wrong, dude. I've seen every spelling of Lloyd and my name. I still let you in, though. If you're close to the mark, I'll let you in. Don't worry. I'm not an evil gatekeeper. But I asked earlier this week what kind of stuff people would like to hear about. You know, not like in a selling out kind of fashion, but I was just interested in what people enjoyed about listening to this, and or if there was anything that would maybe covered briefly that we could get a little bit more in depth to. And there was some cool answers. I think a little bit later we can go over some more of them, but there was one that really caught my eye from Rich, and Rich Relish, of course. Yeah, sorry. Do apologize. He wanted to hear a little bit more after listening to, I think, the brief kind of few moments that we've brought up pseudo-hypnosis. Ooh. Or even actual hypnosis. And it looks like you're pulling the face like, I'm not interested in this, but I think there's some cool things we can get into.
No, I immediately started having little sparks, like memory recall sparks about pseudo-hypnosis. Tell me about it then. Tell me from your point of view, thoughts.
Purely pseudo-hypnosis, from my point of view, is performance convincing. It's having someone believe that you actually have had some kind of an effect on either their or someone else's mental capacity to remember, or you've messed with someone in some way so they see something different or they hear something that no one else can hear. And it's almost like there's usually some kind of dual reality at play, but sometimes there isn't. Sometimes it is literally a simple trick, and your explanation and justification for the trick is, oh, I did this to you. Like, I messed with your head. So even the smallest of tricks, when people are like, well, I made you pick that card, there's kind of a little element of pseudo-hypnosis there. Mm-hmm. And then it can evolve into, you know, much grander tricks to do with PK touches, or, well, even the in Darren Brown's most recent live show, we've spoken several times about the card to box, which is just one of the most amazing examples of like mass pseudo hypnosis.
That I still think that's one of the best card tricks I've ever seen. For everyone that isn't aware of it, and the show's finished now, like the run, so you can find it on TV, but like, spoiler alert, he makes the whole audience believe that they've lost 5 seconds in time. Yeah. And in that 5 seconds, he really makes them believe he's taken the card from a box or the deck that signed and placed it somewhere else in front, right in front of them. And the structure of it is just a masterpiece. So basically, like, just for everyone listening, then you could define pseudo hypnosis as, I know there's a trick by, you know, Gabby, the Spanish magician, Gabby Pereira. He's got you can find Costa Gabby on Instagram or something. Because he's passed away. He's no longer with us. But he does a trick where it's like a one phase ambitious card. It's like the back in time trick.
Yeah.
But is it by Steve Grawn's Back in Time? And the whole premise is that you give somebody like 1 second back in time of their life. So the pseudo hypnosis is that big. But the trick is a two-card transition. One card is placed out jogged in the deck, the other one's left on top. You square the one out jogged in, you turn it, you put the one on top into the middle, and then suddenly they're back in their respective places. Dan and Dave popularized this trick with like the visual changing of the out jog card. But either way, the whole presentation framing is that I'm not going to attempt to do it, but like you just say, you know, what would you give to have a moment in time back? You know, I'm going to give you that gift in time back. And then you should make them believe, pseudo hypnosis style, that you've gone back in time just a few moments to when the cards were in the position that they were. And it's just a really nice framing. You could do it for like ambitious card, right? Same thing. The cards not jumping to the top. You're just going back and resetting a few seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. And when it's done right, I do love that twist of, hey, this could be the most simple trick of all time, but I'm going to say, oh, well, I made you forget 2 seconds and that's when I did this. And so it might be a little bit hacky, but if it's presented right, I just think that's such an easy way to elevate a really simple trick, is to incorporate some kind of, you know, pseudo-hypnosis.
It's completely given them extra moments of magic for free.
It's given them a puzzle that they can take away that isn't just the mechanical side.
I suppose that leans into like pseudo hypnosis presentations.
Yeah,
there's a great DVD set from Fraser Parker in the 1914 from years ago called True Mysteries.
And
I think it's the best thing Fraser's ever done, to be honest with you. And it's got loads of on the street live performances to loads of different random people. And it's Fraser doing a bunch of magic or effects that look like he's hypnotizing the audience. But really, he's just using very practical linear methods. For example, not as a method example, but one of the examples is that he makes a light heavy deck in a spectator's hand. So he makes them think that either they can't pick it up or they can't put it down, something like that, right? I think it's like that.
I think they can't pick it up.
Right. Yeah, that's it. But the method is pretty like analog.
Yeah.
It's not a method in terms of like it's something physical, but the I wouldn't say not psychological, but like the verbal method to it is what controls it all. And it works.
It really does work, because there is a really, really, I remember watching that for the first time, and that is brilliant. There's so many little elements of that to do with confidence and like dominating a conversation in a non-threatening way to achieve what you're after.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And if anyone is interested, there's a lot of stuff like that, really, like in the whole True Mysteries project, where it's like, I can't remember the whole set list because it was so long ago, but there was actually 3 or 4 tricks that I actually started doing which is rare for a project.
Yeah,
but it was all pseudo-based. So I wasn't actually hypnotizing anyone, but it just felt like hypnotism, which is a bit different to presenting something as hypnotism in terms of like, oh, I'm going to make you think you go back in time, where instead you're having these physical effects on people, like they can't, they're unable to speak, or they really forget their card.
Yeah,
they think their card was blank. Da 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 da.
It's such a. I remember the. I can't even remember what the project or the release was, but I remember so vividly being younger and figuring out what pseudo hypnosis and dual reality was. And it was like finding magic again, Because up until that point, you know, like maybe early teens, like from being a young child to like early teens, mid-teens, it was the mechanical, the dexterity, the confidence, the showmanship. And then I found out it was like you live in your house for 20 years and then you go, oh, wait, I've got like a brother I didn't know about.
Yeah.
The most insane revelation. Like, you know, when you first go like, oh, that's how that works. Whoa, there's so much I can do.
It's almost like you give yourself free hits, free effects. It's kind of like when, if for example, if you did a card to envelope in your wallet, and it's just basically instead of having them take the card out the envelope there, you have them do it when they get home. To the extent of like you get that free effect for nothing, or it does something, it changes the dynamic of what the effect is, but nothing's actually being changed in what you've done in terms of method wise, right?
This is kind of like what we spoke about last week, very, very briefly. I said I was kind of talking about card economics and being efficient and how much you can get out of just like a couple of sentences, you know, like you can squeeze so much into there, and there's beats where people aren't getting everything in there. And obviously it depends on what you're performing. If you're just doing something because you want to do one trick, that's fair. But if you're trying to do something where every element of it amps them up, then like there's so many places, just a sentence can squeeze so much more out of it economically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you. Like, I think a great use of that is Patrick Kuhn's timeline app built by Mark Kirstein. It just makes it look like you go back in time. And if you use it in conjunction with any trick, a lot of people use it with Triumph as an effect. And it's just a presentational tool, which you can use sort of, instead of you hypnotizing, that's a difference, right? Because they see you go back in time. If you hypnotize people, I suppose, or pseudo hypnotize people, it feels different. But again, it's just something for free. I call it free, like as in, you don't want to do anything else but play the app, essentially. And the same with a pseudo-hypnosis presentation. You just say, oh, you don't realize, but we've actually gone back in time, or I made you forget, or X, Y, Z, or da-da-da-da. You just change your performance script, and then you get a new angle on it.
And once you realize, like, there's this tiny thing I can add here that will add so much more, it is so much fun just taking advantage of that and using it and adapting it until it fits perfectly. Like, you know, if there's ever an effect I perform where there's some kind of element of forgetting a section of time, then I'll always squeeze in like, well, if you don't remember that, you definitely don't remember what I asked you to write down on this business card, do you? No, I'm gonna wait until another day to show you what you wrote down. That's like a sentence, but they're gonna think about that.
Yeah, very, very true. I'd love to
back in time very briefly.
Oh, Jake, show me. Wow, the Jake, show me a picture of him with a mustache. You look about 10 years younger than that in that photo.
It probably was about 10 years ago, to be fair.
Everyone at home is so bored right now.
Sorry.
I'd love to look at the effect. Okay, like I'll throw an effect to you. And you tell me how you could add a pseudo hypnosis spin to it. So I'm going to give you a challenge. I'm going to say to you, "Crazy Man's Handcuffs," because I love that trick.
Okay, cool. So you know what? I think we almost have to eliminate the obvious with these, because there's one obvious thing that you could say to everything, which is, well, I made you forget the 2 seconds where I took our hands apart and did this.
Okay.
So I think the almost like natural other choice, if you were eliminating the most obvious, the natural other choice to be for me would be, you would have to change the state of it and say that it was that way the whole time. Mm. So you could say, oh, have you got any idea how that's done? Blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, I did this thing earlier. Well, it wasn't even elastic bands. This was just like something else where this was accomplished. But I told you that I was going to do a trick. with elastic bands. And so that's what your mind told you you were going to see. That's what I told you you were going to see. In actuality, it was just like, you know, there was a felt line on my finger.
Oh, wow.
Something, you know?
Okay. Okay. That's interesting. What if my thinking was you could talk to them about hypnotizing their senses. So you could talk to them about feel and so touch and feel and also vision.
Yeah.
And you say to them, I'm going to show you something, more so about vision, right? And you're going to try as hard as you can to see the secret. And so then you do the crazy math handcuffs.
Mm-hmm.
And what you say to them is, what you don't realize is if you've ever seen the caricatures or cartoons or the stereotype of a hypnotist, they will show you a watch swinging back and forth. And as you follow that watch, your eyes begin to get lazy and you drift off into a sleep. And essentially that's what's happening here. The closer you're looking, you think you're hyper-focusing.
Yeah.
But the closer you look, the less you see, because the more in tune you felt like you were, the less you paid attention, were paying attention to the outside world around you. So it looked like the bands melted through each other. And then I come up with some elaborate thing, like, but what I really did was I used my other hand to hold the band here. I put my finger around here. You were focusing right in the middle. And I just come up with, I would show them some crazy like finger gymnastics to get it
to
the side. But I say, but you can't see that because you're just looking right there for the secret. You know, so maybe they think that, you know.
You're so hyper-focused on the point where the elastic bands meet that you didn't see the elastic band I had on my wrist here and here that I slipped over here. And yeah, that's great.
Well, it kind of when I do the last phase and it vanishes in their hands between two spectators, there's the way the bands are twisted, there's like a weird little kink and it looks like it's the secret to the first phase for the untrained eye. So people actually do end up like hyper focusing on one little part of the band and they think they've got you. So that presentation would play well into like my finale.
Yeah.
It's almost like, you know, a pickpocket will say, oh, all the attention's here, but actually I was stealing your tie.
Yeah.
That's the kind of angle I would go with it. Like, okay, I'm going to show you something, try and see how it's done. And then they're like, oh, they're looking really close. And then like, oh, okay, I hypnotize you.
That's great. You know what my other kind of favorite approach, which is kind of similar to that I made you forget, I had this write up years ago, called Sweet Puppet, where it was to do with convincing someone that I'd made them be a part of the effect. So it was really stupid stuff. It started off with like this like semi like fake induction with like a really really simple version of a PK touch that I'd love to do something properly with one day, but it was just super simple. And then it was literally just the most basic effects, but it was like, well, don't you, I told you to take the card out of the deck and put it in your back pocket. That's why it's there. It's just like, you don't remember doing that.
And
I'm trying to remember the one that I used to really love because of how basic it is. Oh, I probably won't be able to do this, but it was literally like, your code word is Romeo. And when I say Romeo, you're going to grab a coin out of my hand and put it in the other hand. And you're not going to remember doing that whatsoever. When I say "and Juliet," you're gonna snap back awake, and everyone's gonna seem like it's normal. So the two coins are in this hand, and this hand is empty. And then you'd say, "And
the magician's hand, right?"
Hands. Yes. Sorry, okay. I forgot that this isn't visual anymore. I'm holding two coins in one hand and empty hand in the other, and I say, "And all I want you to do is keep your eyes on the two coins and fight against reaching out and grabbing them." Even when I say to you, and I put my hands apart and say to you, Romeo and Juliet. What was the last thing I said? Juliet. Oh, you don't remember reaching over and grabbing the coin?
That's so good. So good. So good.
Obviously, this was 5 or 6 years ago. The script was a bit better than that, but it was, you know, the effect was two coins moved from one coin moved from one hand to the other. So there's one coin in each hand.
Oh, mate. Oh, okay, tiny tweak.
Yeah.
Tiny tweak. So I've got in my left hand there are two coins. In my right hand there is nothing. And I say to you, when I say Romeo, you're gonna subconsciously without even realizing, you're going to reach forward, you're going to take one of those coins and place it into my empty hand. I'm going to close the face. When I say Juliet, you'll come back in the room. Okay, so two coins here in my palm. Nothing in my other palm. Concentrate. And Juliet.
Oh, that's good.
So you just don't say Romeo.
Yeah.
And then you close your face. So then they're like, wait, what? Did I? Because it makes them just forget that little bit there.
That's so much better than what I used to do. Because I used to do this weird ass acting where it'd be like, Romeo and Juliet. And yours is way better.
Yeah. It depends how it plays in real life. But yeah, just, or it could even be like that you say, like you act like they weren't meant to do it that time. So you say like, so the first I said, when I say Romeo, you're going to take the coin from my hand and place it in my other hand. And when I say Juliet, you'll be back with us, completely focused in and not realizing what you've done at all. Okay. So one more time, when I say a Juliet, you've done it.
Yeah. That's great. That's great. Oh, I'm going to dig out that write up because there was like five or six effects that I used to love. That was when I first got into kind of like properly trying pseudo hypnosis instead of just thinking about it. And I had like five or six little tiny stupid effects like that.
I love that, man.
Flip a coin and something hidden somewhere. And that's fun.
I mean, you could even be as bold as this. Like if someone says, show me a trick, right? I'll say, okay, hold on. What time is it? 23 minutes past seven. I perform it. And then I'd say the time maybe was, I'd say, 18 minutes past seven. Perform the trick. And then I'm like, okay, now it's 23 minutes past, but the trick has only definitely been like 30 seconds long. So then I say, that was crazy. I feel like I actually lost like 5 minutes time there. And then they check their phones. So it's not seen the visual element of like timeline.
Yeah.
Well, another thing you could do with pseudo hypnosis is you can do it for ACANs. So you can say to someone, I'm going to make you memorize the deck. You have no idea you can do it. But then you show them a face up deck, shuffled, you know, spread it, and then say, okay, now shout out a card and work out in your head how many cards that is down. And they're like, okay, four spades, 23. And then you force the four spades to get that position for whatever, you know, reason.
Yeah.
And then it's there. There's so many ways you can do that. You don't really need methods. You could use a Svengali deck. You could just use mnemonica and cut to it. You could do a plethora of different things. You could use Maxim in some way, you know, instead of just, you could just tell them the card and they figure out the number, or they could tell you a number and you say, okay, whatever. But there's a bunch of different stuff you can do. But in that context, you're taking an ACAN and you're turning it into them knowing how it's done because they think they've memorized it under the state of hypnosis.
Yeah, yeah. I could, you know, purely, I absolutely love, I love that approach to doing a simple effect or a simple trick and just thinking like, how can I texture it? How can I layer it with something else? Another kind of presentation. Whilst I remember, just in case anyone was interested in that silly coin trick, I just now kind of remembering, I would do it by pulling someone away from a group. And then I'd get them to actually grab the coin and put it in one hand just to show them what I was going to make them do. So that when they went back, I could say to their friends, you watched them reach out and grab the coin, didn't you? And that was just from earlier when I'd had him show him what I was going to make him do.
Similar to record it on your phone, set your phone up and record it. You can play it back to everyone later, but they think it's that time.
Oh, that's so good. Just get someone in not to record it. The other thing I used to love doing, which is kind of similar to an idea I mentioned a little bit earlier, was having them write down, you know, a name that was important to them or something, peeking it and just kind of like forgetting about it, writing it down at another point. And then when I'd do this coin trick, I'd say, you don't remember moving the coin from one hand to the other. You probably don't remember telling me the word that you wrote earlier and watching me write it down on this business card, did you? No, because I remember you told me, Amanda, I wrote it down in front of you and put it back in my pocket. You didn't. Yeah.
Oh. Do you know what would be good with that? You know the old carny trick where you do the karate, I'm going to steal that coin from your hand, like Bruce Lee, and secretly you can actually switch it. Mm-hmm. There's a video on Scam School teaching you how to do it. I do a video on my channel where I switch a normal coin for a bent coin, but it's a coin that switches in the spectator's hands, and it's the most convincing switch
Yeah.
I think it actually, I don't know if I talked about this. I sent you a video. I did it with a billet with Kaylee.
Yes, you did. That was great.
If I could peek the billet. It was a long thing. But anyway, with that context, right? So same trick, you say, I'm going to put a silver coin. You don't say silver because then they kind of guess what's going to happen. You say, put this 10 pence piece or US quarter in your hand. And I'm going to try and steal it. My signal to go, so when you have to clench your fist, is the moment I say Romeo. Mm. When I say Juliet, that's when you're back, you're out of the hypnosis. So then you do it and you switch it for a copper coin, right? So a 2 pence piece, or I don't know, a US penny or something, nickel, whatever.
Yeah.
And so then you go, okay, ready? 3, 2, 1, Romeo. And then maybe you don't say Juliet for a while, and then you say Juliet, and you say, did you see how fast it was I stole the coin? I don't know. But just using that, it would need to be a lot more fleshed out.
No, it's such a cool little idea that could just add so much more to it. I love just anything that you can get for free or close to free is perfect.
Dude, actually, going back to your thing where you said they tell you the word as well.
Yeah.
All about the phone recording thing, if you take them over to instruct them, you say, come over here with me, and you have somebody, like you said, secretly film you doing the instructions, right? So you have a friend. So let's say I'm performing, and I say, Jake, when I take them over there, film me secretly at a portrait angle from this position. So I go over and I say, right, when I'm going to have two coins in my hand here, one, nothing in this hand. You're going to take one coin from here and place it over there. I'm going to close my fist. Okay, so practice it now. Okay, now you're going to do that when I say Romeo. And then when I say Juliet, you'll forget and you'll do it instinctively. And when I say Juliet, you'll be unhypnotized. Okay, perfect. Okay, but we'll do this sometime later in the night. And I am going to let you have a few drinks so that you'll be a lot more loosened up to this, because it is hard to do, whatever the bullshit is. Now, later on, I'm going to have you send me that video on your phone.
Yeah.
Right. Now I say, okay, I'm going to take you over here. Everyone can see what's going to happen, but I need to stand you away from everyone so you can hear me clearly. Remember what we said. I'll tell everyone, when I say Romeo, you're going to snap into this back to this hypnosis. You're going to take the coin from my hand, place it in my other hand. You're not going to see it happen. You're not going to feel it happen. You're not going to be aware that you're doing it. When I say Juliet, you'll be completely back, fully alert, fully aware, not hypnotized anymore, and you'll see the fruits of your labor. So now I say, okay, take a deep breath, focus. A Juliet, and the coins jumped. Oh no, fuck, I missed one bit, which is, I say, oh, quickly, before we do it, I'm going to take my phone and I'm going to place it over here and press record.
Oh, yes.
So I run over with my phone. I just have it on camera mode. I don't press record. And the camera, the last video sent to me is from your phone. So I do that, right? Now, because nobody realizes we recorded the practice session.
Yeah.
Now it's okay, 3, 2, 1, a Juliet. Or whatever. In the video, it'll say Romeo and Juliet as well.
Yeah.
And you can maybe cut down to the right part. Now, when you go back over, everyone's freaking out. They're probably freaking out more than anyone. Say blah, blah, blah. Don't even mention your phone. Don't mention it. Wait for them to go, wait. Let's watch it back on video. Oh, yeah, good thing. I completely forgot about that. Open up the last video in my camera roll. And it's then you saying Romeo, then taking the coin, put it in the other hand, and Juliet is there.
I love that. You know, if you wanted to incorporate the revealing that they had also told you a name, you could have a business card with Romeo and Juliet written on it, right? So you lean into them before you start, whilst the secret recording is happening. So this is like to parallel what actually happened, what you say happens later. Oh. You could lean into them and say, "Are you okay doing this? Are you comfortable?" Because you know some people don't like this. They say to you, "Yeah, whatever." When you show them the video, that looks like you've exchanged some kind of information. You show them the card that says Romeo and Juliet and say, this is the code word. When I say this, blah, blah, blah. When I say this. So it looks like, and then whilst you're putting it away, you scribble it out. So it looks like you're writing something on it and putting it in your pocket. Oh. And then when they watch that back, that's you taking it out and writing down the word they've just told you.
Gosh, darn it. That's crazy.
It's really fun.
That is crazy.
It's a lot of plates to spin, but that's what you got to do for like an effect that actually kills someone.
Yeah. Dude, that whole Romeo and Juliet coin transport is the coolest thing.
Thank you, dude. It's just adding something to something, adding something simple to something else.
A word peek in there at the same time as well. Just synergy, isn't it? Just maximizing the effect.
Yeah. Yeah. Now that I think about it, I think I actually used to use the code word Samson and Delilah because I thought I was really cool and that was to do with betrayal and seduction. But Romeo and Juliet's more fun.
What's another? I bet there's some really cool words that are just like quite, what's the phrase I'm looking for? Like not sexy, but not edgy, but just something.
Evocative.
Oh, provocative. That's it. Like what's two phrases when said together it makes people kind of go cute? Do you know what I mean? But like just something you don't hear very often. Human rights.
It's something to think about. Maybe people can send in some suggestions for a sexy seductive code word.
It could be like Alpha Omega or something. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Ooh, yeah.
Alpha Omega.
You could do a bunch with it. I guess it depends on what like the aesthetic of your performance was as well. Because if you were doing some kind of psychological approach, you might be like, you know, Freud and Jung. But if you were doing some kind of mystical approach, you'd be like, you know, Oracle of Delphi.
Well, I mean, in Darren's card box, he counts and he goes like,
yeah, yeah.
1, 2, 8, 9, 10 or something.
The beauty of like working on just such a simple idea, you get to decorate the outside of the cake with whatever you want.
Yeah, one of the things I love doing back to pseudo-hypnotism, I mean it's all pseudo-hypnotism, is when it comes to coin bends, is that whole, you know, the forearm muscle that you press and it makes fingers contract in.
Yeah, I remember you talking about this. Yeah,
this, so there's something about that which, because it's tangible, they can all sit around a table, they can all press that forearm muscle and their fingers will curl in involuntarily, and using that in the context of a coin bend is I think it's great because it's free in terms of presentation wise. You can just say like, hold the coin in your hand as long as it's already bent, and now squeeze that tendon, make yourself stronger than you've ever realized you could ever be before, blah 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 blah. But then it's just that little extra sprinkle of believability.
So cool. You know, speaking of like keeping something grounded with a concept that someone can understand and grasp, so they will happily latch onto it as an explanation. You could be like, you know, the way mothers can lift up cars to save their babies. Like, imagine, you know, close your eyes and imagine that the one thing stopping you from saving the person closest to you is bending that coin right now. And they're like, well, I've read about mums being able to lift cars, so maybe I can't bend this coin.
That's great. I'm just trying to think. You know, one presentation that I love is something I heard from, I think it's Penn and Teller do something with it in their stage show. It's you can choose to keep your eyes open or keep them closed.
Yeah.
There's got to be some sort of thing there. I think when they do it, they actually reveal the method, but it'd be cool to do something along the lines of you can choose to keep your eyes open and see how it works or keep them closed and just experience, you know,
yeah,
the magic. But what you do is actually fully like, hidden secret, and you can, you know, frame it in such a way as that pseudo hypnotism.
I can't remember who it was, but I do remember seeing that kind of ploy in I think it was on an episode of Foolers. So I don't know which performer it was, but I know it was Penn and Teller's Foolers who did something where people could choose to have their eyes open or their eyes closed.
Dr. J does a trick for the blind, doesn't he, with his what's it called? I can't remember the name of that trick. It's really good. Really good. Anyway, that was a pseudo hypnotism chat. What was the other topics you had in mind?
Let me have a little look because I will see what people have suggested. It might not necessarily be things that we can cover right now. I know Daniel Rothschild sent in videos a little while back that he's keen for us to look at, but so we might not be able to get to it as in depth as something like that right now. But oh, this was a fun one. Seth Howard said, I feel like the paddle move isn't something that really fits either of your styles. So listening to you discuss some kind of a trick using the paddle move would be really interesting. I quite liked that the idea of using it in a way it hasn't been used before, where perhaps, I don't know, some of my favorite twists on traditional effects are where it's used not as the effect, but as a method for something else, or maybe what is actually happening isn't the point of what's going on. So imagine if you did some kind of a billet switch where you're using the paddle move, like you have some kind of two-sided envelope or something. I don't know. Like there's different approaches that could actually be interesting, because I mean, it's not like elitism or anything. It's just never been something that I have past the point of, you know, like a young teenager, maybe I've never done it actively or performed it actively. It's just not in my realm of what I'm interested in, I guess. But not in a, it's a gorgeous trick, and when it's done by someone who's a master, it is amazing.
I use it a lot for the Sharpie that changes to like six of clubs or whatever, just to show the Sharpie both sides.
Dude, I'm completely wrong, because I use that as well. I have the six of clubs.
I use that ridiculous amount. It's disgusting how much I use that, but it works. And it's
I had
brilliant.
To buy two more because I used it that much that it's just faded away.
Yeah, dude. But and I'll tell you.
Go on, sorry.
No, it's all good.
I was just going to say, I'll add one more. I am completely lying, because I do use the paddle move in other things. I don't know if you ever remember, ages ago, Dynamo had this book out, and inside of it, there was a water bottle. The wrapping for a water bottle, like the label that you could cut out and put on a water bottle. And one side of it said like generic brand. The other side said Seven of Spades in the logo. I've done it using that.
That's great. Well, Paul Harris, first of all, says that like he thinks the paddle move is the best move in all of magic, most deceptive move, and I think he's right when done right. But in terms of like Seth Howard asking us to discuss it creatively, I know it's like how we use it. This is not how I would use it, but this is how I could potentially start to think about using it in other alt. I mean, it's normally used in visual senses, right?
Yeah.
The first thing that comes to my mind is you have a jar of five paddles, but the sticks are up in the air, but they're covered. So it's like, say they're in a cup, a China cup, mm-hmm. or a metal pot. So you can't actually see the paddles. So it's like a bank night routine. They've got little numbers on them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on the handles. So then you can just say, name any one of them. Okay, number 4, great. So I'm going to show you number 1 is blank, number 2 is blank, number 3 is blank, yeah. Number 5 is blank, but number 4 has kill on both sides. You know?
I love that.
So you could use it in the bank night sense. You could probably use it for a peek somehow. You could probably have two paddles in there. You know, you write your secret word on one of those. Perfect. put it back in the jar. I'm going to take the other one that's blank on these on the both sides. I'm going to write my secret word on here, you know, something like that.
Dude, yeah, if you had the right prop, maybe not necessarily a paddle, but something where it would be realistic that you would write down something on, you could do a prediction where all of, where there was five separate, like, choices they could make are written on all of them. And you're showing them all blank apart from the one you wrote on, which says whatever it is that they...
Yeah, you could do like a hug kill routine. Like you could put a $1 on the other one. Well, you could put $1 and $100 on all of them. So one on the front, 100 on the back. You can say, I've put $401 in this cup. I don't want you to win. So name one of them. So then you can show them, oh, tough luck. They all had 100s on both sides. I've put $802 in these five sticks in this jar. This one has 100. This one has 100. This one has 100. This one has 100. This one has 1.
Oh, you could have a bunch of like thin bottles, like imagine like Tabasco sauce. And it's like, they're all blank, but one of them's poison. And, like, pick the one I'm going to drink.
Yo. Or whatever. That's great. Oh. That's so cool. How could you use it for a switch of an object but that's just used in passing? So it's not the feature of the trick, mm-hmm. but it's used in like, oh, I'm going to like, it would kind of be odd to be like, oh, right. You know, I'm going to fold this playing card up and put rubber bands around it on this ice lolly or this, what's it called? Popsicle stick.
Yeah.
That would be a bit too pushing the organic edge, I think. But you know, in some contexts, you could use it for like a Mercury card switch, but what would be the paddle object?
Yeah, I get you. I don't know. Is there a way you could have some like little miniature like swords, like letter openers or something.
Cocktail umbrella swords or cocktail swords.
Yeah.
Ooh. But then they have to have a little bit of a paddle so it can hide, right?
Yeah,
you have
that's
to have
true.
A little bit of a board. I've got a chopping board. I wonder how you could use it on stage, like a big chopping board with a handle, you know?
A double-sided frying pan.
I was thinking the same thing. My bacon is now cooked.
Oh, no, because that wouldn't work. Because we're
Yeah, you just tip it on the floor.
Oh, dude. You know, I've never, ever thought about this. And I love it when people suggest something and it's like, I'd never think about this because I always thought that that wasn't in my wheelhouse, but... No, I could 100% make that in my wheelhouse.
The frying pan one?
No, do all of it. Just paddle move. Like, dude, like I said, it's not an elitist sense. It's just something I'd never actively thought about using.
Your iPhones have a little bit of a paddle feature to them. The iPhone volume button you have on the wired headphones you're wearing now.
Oh yeah, you
know? Bit of a paddle thing. You can show front and back.
Hmm.
Little twist. Mm.
This harkens back to it. One of our first episodes where we talked about tapered AirPods.
Oh my goodness, dude, that's a throwback and a half. Wow. Oh, a nail file. A nail file. Women use nail files, right? They're kind of like a paddle shape.
Yeah.
Or a fingerboard, like a finger skateboard.
Oh, dude, I used to shred fingerboards, man. I would get all the chicks with the fingerboards.
Did you?
Hell yeah. Yeah, and finger BMXs as well.
I had one of those too. I bought a fingerboard half pipe and it was terrible because you had to build it out of wood.
Yeah.
And I was not good.
Oh, man, I'm going to buy some of them. You know, I think I've mentioned it before. I used to run like this DIY, like punk kind of magazine. And for the first issue, it had like a little baggie that would look like you get ecstasy in it. Like taped to the issue, and it was like free gifts with each issue. And in the first issue, there was a little fingerboard, like cheap plastic fingerboard, and a little pin badge. And I bought about 400 of them just so I could use them as stock.
What about making? So it's imagine, you know, you can get those pin badges that have funny little cartoons and quotes and things on them. It could be one like, that you have two, and it says upstream without and the badge underneath it is a little paddle, like a cartoon drawn paddle. And so you're like, oh, I got these pin badges for my birthday or whatever. It says, up shit creek without and then you say, oh, I'm gonna unbutton this one, and it comes off, and now you have a little paddle, but it kind of makes sense because nothing really looks like a paddle apart from a paddle. But if it's a badge that's literally supposed to be a little paddle. Then it kind of works a little bit. And you can keep it on your lapel. So if someone goes, what's that all about? And now you can have some tricks built into it.
Dude. You know what? Like, you could literally just... I bet you people have already done it with a vape. Because that's, organic. You could totally have a reveal on a vape.
It must have been done with a vape.
It's got to have been. I mean, bloody, like... You know, like, pen through bill has been done with a vape. Like, it's gotta have been done with a vape.
The cool thing is you could like do some visual stuff and then blow the vape smoke over it as it changes.
With you mentioning it, I still adore that Six of Clubs Sharpie. That is just like bang for your buck. That has got so many great reactions.
The way I perform it is just cross cut force every single time and then reveal it.
Dude, even I've got it like drilled into my head now. That Sharpie's usually in my top pocket with whatever jacket I'm wearing, and it's if someone mentions Six of Clubs casually, or like if you're just throwing out like name a card, every now and again someone does say Six of Clubs.
Yeah.
So it's not even necessarily forcing it. It's just good just to have.
We should make like how many would it take? You'd need. If you did Colossal Killer with it, right? But you do the variant. Well, so I used to do Colossal Killer and I would have, you really need four for this, really. So I would have, actually, with it three or four, I used four queens. Mm-hmm. I'd have two in my back pocket, so one in each one. I'd have one under my phone case and one in my wallet. So I'd go out the house, I'd pick my phone and my wallet, and all I need to do is put two queens in my back pocket. Yeah. It'll be folded up into quarters, and on the hidden inside quarter bit, I would write off by one on all of them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So then I would say to someone, I want you to think of a playing card, make it a random playing card. Don't go for anything obvious. And you're going to change your mind. So you're thinking of a number card, change your picture card, think of a picture card. It was either, I know it's the springboard principle or the Ecroft force or the numbers psych force. I know there's a lot of people play that. Yeah. I'll get shot for getting whoever wrong. Right. I always attribute it to Michael Murray, but maybe it was Ross Taylor or, you know, but someone please correct me, or even Russ Andrews. But either way, they would always land on a court card. And you don't even have to do the force. You could just equivoke, right? Yeah. But then whatever one they would name, say it was the Queen of Hearts, which would be under my phone, in my phone case, or say it's a King of Hearts, which is because with Colossal Killer, you always want them to be off by one because it's such a bigger reaction. But then, yeah, you just, so whether they thought the Jack, Queen, or King, you'd reveal the, if whatever, say it was Hearts, you'd reveal the Queen of Hearts, either it was bang on, or that you take, I was off by one, that's why I wrote it on the back. Boom, reaction. If you had four Sharpies and they said, Queen of Hearts, Queen of Clubs, Queen of Diamonds, Queen of Spades, and then the other Sharpie said, off by one.
Yeah.
Then you could say, write it down on that business card, and then you could just say, watch, it changes to the Queen of Hearts. I need to say that, so that's why I wrote off by one on the side. You know,
love it, love it. That's,
four Sharpies. This is a trick right there.
Yeah, Lloyd's next release is a Sharpie decks. It's an index of Sharpies.
It wouldn't even be an index. You just put them in one in each pocket.
I know. I'm just ripping you, dude.
Do you remember that other brother's trick called, like, I can't remember what it was called, but I think you had an out. It was like, I don't know, some like 12 Sharpie out, little index of like 12 Sharpies, and it'd be folded cards and all of it. Something crazy.
I don't
like
remember
that.
This, but I'm going to look it up.
Oh my God. They got in like loads of heat for it. Loads of heat. It was like, yeah, I think the big resounding takeaway from like the reviewers online was the method is exactly what you think it is.
Mm.
Basically, you've just got like an out for every single Sharpie.
Didn't you put something out?
I'm going to make those Colossal Killer Sharpies, by the way.
Oh,
I'm going to make
do.
Them just for personal use.
Yes, please do. You know what? The advent of like personalized products has been amazing for Magic because you can just go on Vistaprint and order a hat that has the reveal you want on.
Yeah. That's
didn't
true.
Didn't you have something with a Sharpie and a quarter of a card underneath the... What was it? Maybe I'm thinking of something else.
Oh, that little rotating card gimmick switching thing.
That
was
it. I love that.
Yeah, that thing was cool. Completely impractical, but as a fun experiment to creativity, it was cool.
Yeah, dude, this podcast might as well be called Completely Impractical. It's the Pipe Dream podcast.
Oh, dude, check this out. There's a website called customink.com.
Hmm.
Design your own Sharpie. What?
Ooh.
Oh, you can literally just design them right here.
Sick.
Add text. Okay.
Sick.
Queen of Clubs. Add to design. It's not the Sharpie text on this website, but let me see roughly what the price is. This is crazy if you can just do it as basic as this. Queen of Clubs. Surely they've got the Sharpie font on this website.
You would like to think so.
Oh, they have. They have.
Oh, yes.
They call it Aromatica script. I mean, it's not exactly the Sharpie font, but no one ever looks if you just say, pick the Sharpie. Because just giving them, that looks pretty much like Sharpie. All right, get price. Can I flip it? There's the front.
Flip it.
And the back. There's front. Surely I can. Add text, add notes, product colors. I don't know. Anyway, let's see, get price. Buy and ship. Yeah. Ship to single address. Get it in 2 weeks. Quantity one. Oh, I need a minimum of 150 drats.
Corporate corporate gift kind of website, is it?
Yeah. $2.24 each. So $336 for that one. I mean, that's $1,200 for a run of, what is it, 150?
Yeah. There'll be cheaper websites. I've seen, because I've looked up having reveals on pens and stuff. They'll be cheaper out there.
Yeah, there'd be loads. Probably like Vistaprint can probably do it.
Yeah, probably. You know what? I'm still stuck on this paddle thing.
Seth Howard, you've unleashed a monster.
You know what would be a cool reveal? And it's fairly... You could design, like, another label for Polo where it says something else on the other side.
Dude, have you seen Ben Williams' trick called Linko?
I don't think so.
He takes the two O's of Polo and they link on the label. So he visually moves the O across and it links. And then the two Polos in the hand are linked as well. Something that's like that.
You could have on the other side like a 6OFD or something.
Oh.
Take up the four spaces.
Hayley got me actually fruit pastels for our anniversary the other day, and it had a custom label on it, and it said "Happy Birthday, Happy Anniversary, Lloyd."
Oh, dope! That is sweet, man.
But you got it from she got it from Moonpig, I think. They make custom fruit pastel labels.
Moonpig.com.
Oh my goodness! I'm in a total paddle zone now.
I know, and I keep just thinking about, for some reason. This sounds a bit wrong. I keep thinking about like double-ended products.
Mm.
For some reason, that's like opened up some kind of door in my head. Because I was just thinking, I think it's because we were talking about outs then. You know, I've done a decent amount of kind of like cigarette-based magic in the past.
Yeah.
I'm going to find, there's got to be somewhere from years ago, like cigarette boxes, to see if I can make it look realistic to have a double-sided one. So on one side, you open it that way, and the other side, you open it that way. So that this could be some kind of decent reveal. Even if you just got it down to two cards folded up and put in a cigarette box.
You got a really clean two-way out.
Yeah.
What you could use for a paddle is in the UK, at least. Sorry, going on back to it. Is they have a sweet, like candy, called drumstick. And yes. They're shaped literally like paddles.
Mm-hmm.
It's a white stick that comes out and there's a little cube or rectangle shape on it, right?
There's something so clean about a reveal on a paddle.
Well, if you made that label, and it says drumsticks on one side and then like six of clubs on the other. So you say that this is a drumstick, sweetie. Change it and it changes to say six of clubs and you can open it and inside will be like a fold six of clubs.
Oh, it's so good. So.
Or whatever it is you're going to force, you know, you could change to say a celebrity name, like, and then you've chewed the celebrity shape into the candy.
Yeah, yeah, dude. Shape it for some kind of a force and then a digital force bag. So it says Paris one side, and when you open it, it's got a bust of Tom Hanks chewed out of.
You just show it to Drake, like Julius Dean, just have him freak out. Build an empire. Buy a Ferrari, move abroad.
Mission well done, old chap. Wait, you can't hate it, can you?
No way. Oh, so I mean, we're over an hour now already.
We are. You're gonna that's my dedicated Lloyd time for the week. You're gonna kick me to the curb now.
No, well,
go back to your main wife.
I'm always so reluctant of letting these roll on too long. You know, I kind of want to like to have them jam-packed. I've eaten food, so I'm not hungry. That's the first.
Oh, I'm very, very hungry. I'm still in a calorie deficit.
What are you? I'm in a calorie deficit, but I've eaten my food for the day. What are you having today?
Yeah, I haven't had time to like fit my window, so I've just had to skip it today. So I'm only on like 850 calories until, you know, I don't know, 7 or 8 a.m. tomorrow, which isn't too bad. It's like about 18 hours.
Just a cup of tea, loads of water, and yeah.
Well, I don't drink tea, so just black coffee until like, well, I shouldn't really be drinking it now.
Yeah, I can't drink. I never drink coffee after like, I think midday is usually my cutoff point.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I'm into my mocha parts at the minute.
Ooh.
It's not actually mocha like chocolate. It's coffee, but super strong. And it's, have you seen how they brew it? It brews upside down.
Yeah.
Yeah. It uses vapor or steam pressure. So good.
It's pretty sick. Oh, I'm in such a creative mood now. There's one amazing thing about these podcasts is I go and sit down afterwards and go, oh, I wish we'd talked about this because I've just had this idea. Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah.
So good. See, if it was up to me, these would be like 17 hours long.
Well, I don't mind doing them longer. It's just I'm conscious of people's time.
It's a podcast. Like, you know where vote. The pause button is.
Have I got you blue balled now?
No, go on. You can leave, Lloyd. It's okay.
You know what you should do with this creative energy?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
Maybe this would be good to put it on the ether. Tell people what you might giving yourself to do as a challenge. If you talk to me.
I'm going to be adopting a young Haitian child.
Are you? They believe in voodoo and they'll kill you in your sleep. They'll slit your throat.
Hey, now, none of that. I am.
You don't have to if you don't want.
Well, you know, I don't want to make any false promises, but I have a few kind of cool ideas for videos that I don't want to sell. So I was thinking about, I've been encouraged a little bit by Lloyd to kind of just put them out on YouTube.
Yes.
Just some free junk.
If you're listening to this part of the podcast, the comment is, Jake, do it.
Well, it would be if we were still on YouTube, but I got banned for being too ugly from Lloyd's channel. So this is audio only, so you have to email it in or post in the Facebook group.
Facebook group, comment, Jake, do it. Just Jake, do it.
Yeah. Sure. I look forward to seeing that.
No, you were thinking about doing some videos, sharing some ideas, some creative explorations.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've seen when we speak, when we speak privately or send videos back and forth, we're kind of similar in that we have a very scattershot, like here's 17 ideas where each of them could maybe be worked on to be decent. And I would love some kind of place to put ideas where they're not just going in a drawer, because very often I'll come up with a silly gimmick that I will never use, but there might be half a dozen people out there that kind of like that.
Mm-hmm. It's literally there was a word that I said, but like it's the reason why I started my YouTube 18 months ago or however long it was. It was because it was a public open source notebook, because I just like you, I would have these ideas, I would forget to write them down or document them in some way, and they would disappear. And I tell you, man, it was the best decision I ever made creatively, regardless of anything that comes with it. Just as a creator, I feel like I would not have pushed myself. I wouldn't have remembered half the stuff. I wouldn't have completed half the idea. You know, sometimes you have a brain fart and you think that's a good idea. And it's not until you actually run through it and then say, I've got to make this into at least a video. Then you realize, oh, there's a stumbling block here. I never realized this. Oh, this is really good. And then you learn from it, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of failed ideas that only failed because I kind of didn't give them a proper chance.
Mm-hmm.
And any kind of motivation, we were talking earlier at the start of the episode about seeking motivation for creativity in like books and things like that. And I think any kind of goal that's self-imposed that you have to stick to is brilliant encouragement for creativity. So, you know, if I kind of say to myself, well, you know, in a month you have to have started that stupid YouTube stuff, that's going to force me to finish something. So, dude.
Some people crumble under pressure. Some people can only work under pressure. I think you're one of the people that can only work under pressure, if I'm right, because I'm insane.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's some stuff where it's kind of went up to the wayside a little bit. I mean, we were kind of hype on the idea of a magazine, and that petered out a little bit. I'm still fairly hyped on that idea.
I'm hyped on it. I've gotten a section written already, I think.
Yeah, I have some little parts written. I mean, we said we were going to put out a book about funeral magic. There is a lot of things there. It's just we need to kind of set some deadlines down the line.
This is true. Well, I'm trying to free up more time. This is part of the reason why these videos or these episodes are not going on YouTube at the minute. It's just because it takes me around 3+ hours to download, put into Final Cut, add the changes, add the backgrounds, the titles, and then export and then upload out. And it's just been busy at the minute. So freeing up time is a key focus at the minute. And the more time I have, it means the more time we can work on projects like that.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Which would be great. Also, one thing that we haven't discussed this week, and it's completely off topic, but I am absolutely absolutely obsessed with the UFO disclosures that will be coming out soon.
Same, dude. Same.
I
my two lifelong loves, magic and aliens.
Dude, I don't know about you, but I'm eat, sleep, breathing, shitting it at the minute. Like, Kaylee's getting pissed off because every single minute she wakes up, like 3 a.m, I'm up reading about it. And I know it's kind of on topic because it is in that realm of mystery, you know, but just as an aside, I don't know. Yeah. I haven't got anyone else to speak to about it.
Man, I told you about a radio show that I used to find old downloads of and listen to called Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. They did have another host. Well, they had two other hosts further down the line, but Art Bell was the best in the original. And if anyone has got some work to do and they need 5 hours of nonsense in the background, listen to old Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell episodes, because he has people phoning in about truck drivers who saw Bigfoot and followed him to the woods, and a man who dug a hole in his back garden that went to hell, and people phone in saying, I've just escaped from Area 51. It's like prime time 80s, like nutballs in a non-offensive sense. Tinfoil hat wearing. Absolutely.
Well, have you been following the stuff with David Grush and, or Grush, how you pronounce his name?
Yeah.
I watched it live when they did the three of them being interviewed by Congress, or well, they're not Congress, were they? They were, the Congress? I don't know how you describe it. It's American politics. It's very different to ours. Yeah. It was a panel. In the UK, it would be a political panel. I don't know what they call. Yeah, dude, aliens exist. I know people will think we're crazy for saying this, but they 100% exist, and they're going to announce, at least disclose, that they have craft soon. They have to.
Hell yeah, always have, always will. And I don't know how far I trust him, but he has some credentials that are hard to ignore.
I mean, he was an intelligence security reporter that reported directly to the president. He mm-hmm. was the guy that would deliver the news to the president on a daily briefing basis.
Yeah.
And he only resigned in April of this year, was it?
Something like
that. And
the
people that are still in higher positions, like as in head of secretary or whatever they call all these Americans, they still back him. And he's gone through the official whistleblower route, which means you go to the DOD or whoever. The American system is different to ours, but they give him permission to say that he can, instead of like going the Snowden route and just and giving away classified secrets, he's doing it all officially, and so far it's moving forward.
It's crazy, but they've been drip feeding it the past couple of years, you know, the Tic Tac videos, the UAP phenomena stuff that the Navy was
changing it to UAP for a start.
That's officially it's always been on the books. Let's start classifying it publicly. Like, yeah.
What's it called? Ontological shock, isn't it? They're concerned about, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, that was the entire plot of the X-Files. 13 seasons will slowly alert the public to the menace. Like, so good.
I'm going to binge watch the X-Files from the start.
Do it. I do it like once every 2 years. It's my favorite show of all time.
I want to talk about aliens the next time. What the fuck are you on about?
Yeah, I know. No, dude, this is like, I was telling you the other day, I wanted to have like a podcast that was like Coast to Coast AM, where I could just spend 7 hours talking about aliens with like randomers. I was just about to say something and it's completely...
Should we do an alien special? Well, fuck it. Does anyone want to listen to about aliens? Alien special?
If anyone likes aliens as well, watch the criminally underrated Resident Alien starring the amazingly talented Alan Tudyk. It's such a good show.
What's it called? I haven't heard of this.
Resident Alien. He's an alien that is trying to destroy Earth that crash lands in a small, like, main, you know, town in North America. And he disguises himself as a human. Yeah, it's semi, comedy kind of, but it's brilliant.
I'm not up for a comedy, really.
That's fair.
Is it a comedy or?
It's like split. It's pretty serious some parts, but it's comedy. Yeah.
Okay. I'll give it a go, but I may not watch it because I'll be watching government debriefing videos. News Nation is reporting live from the Vatican in a couple of days. You seen this?
Oh no.
So the news station that did the first David Grush interview, mm-hmm. With Ross Coulthard, they're all in. They're determined to get this disclosed, and they are putting all their efforts behind it. So their next live video, let me find where it is. I'm looking for their channel. Because it was announced on, not announced, but it was on Reddit video. They're going to be doing, they're literally reporting live from the Vatican with an update. Yeah. I'm going to find this post. Here we go. Right. So it says, tomorrow, and that was posted 16 hours ago, watch Banfield live from the Vatican. Because the Vatican are reportedly, and it says in some of the documentation, they were involved in 1930. In discovering some craft, right? And they called the US in to help recover it.
Dude, if I could like have access to one archives, it would be the Vatican archives, man. I want to go find the Spear of Destiny and shit.
Well, the Pope can, they say, right, the comments are saying the Pope is the only person in the world that can just straight up declassify the documents they have in it because he is a theologic leader. What's it called? But he's his own king of his, because the Vatican is its own sort of like what's the word for it, it's his own country, like he's a mini king. Live from the Vatican, tune in at 10 p.m today, and that's central, it's, I think 9 central on news nation. We are not alone. The Vatican's UFO connection, live from the Vatican City.
Dude, the ghost of Sinead O'Connor got to them.
It's been 7 hours, mate. 60. Yeah. No, okay. No, but this is what someone says, right? The Vatican's allowed to release secret stuff from the archive after 75 years. We are past that from the crash in 33 and the turnover in 45. Maybe the Pope wants to drop a fire mixtape.
Hell yeah.
And then someone said, documents can be released 75 years. After 75 years, the Vatican City is an absolute monarchy with the Pope as the head of state. That's what I was looking for. So actually, yeah. If you think about it, the Pope might be one of, if not the only person in the world that could legally release photos and documents about UFOs right now without any declassification, whistleblowing, leaking, jail time, etc.
Yeah,
dude, someone commented saying, how fucking based would it be if the Pope just upstaged the USA and showed us them aliens?
That would be so cool. He's just standing in front of a whiteboard. He's like, this is an alien we find, and this is an alien we find, and another alien we find. And they're all a Catholic.
Well, this is the thing, right? I mean, for anyone that's religious, no offense, but like, if it comes out that like legit aliens exist, right? I'm not saying they do, I believe them, but I'm not saying they officially do. But if it comes out
they do,
that it's officially announced, yeah, they fucking do, then it's gonna be, you know, it's gonna dramatically affect a lot of religions. But the smart thing, and this is what people are saying, that if a religion was to sort of keep its stronghold, then shift the goalposts as early as possible.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
get ahead of it.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to have any kind of like any kind of ounce of the stranglehold you currently have, then you've got to like move with the wave.
Yeah, and that's me about to either be killed for saying this or us. But
I agree with what Tim Minchin says about the Pope.
What does he say?
Fuck the motherfucker. Child abusers.
Oh, we're gonna get cancelled.
No, it's not on your YouTube anymore, so it's fine.
That's true. You can't get cancelled if no one listens.
Apologies to the Catholics that might listen.
It's the extremists with any religion, or whether they're atheists as well. Those are the people that ruin everything for all their gangs.
Yeah.
Oh God, we're digging a hole. I'm digging a hole.
I don't mind. I live in this hole. I'm a Latter-day Satanist. It's fine.
Latter-day Satanist. Anyway, I do have to bail because Katie just texted me saying, can you keep it down? The baby's trying to sleep.
Murphy's just texted him saying he's sacked.
I think he's probably going to talk about pedophiles and he's trying to sleep at night. He's having nightmares of the Pope.
Oh no. Apologies, it won't be brought up in any future episodes.
No, it totally can't be, but not a bedtime, Jake. Just glad I'm not talking about Jimmy Savile, because then he wouldn't sleep for a week.
Oh, now then.
Same person, though, really? I don't know. yes, on that note.
We're petering off into manic.
I didn't realize you were so into UFOs as much as... You're probably into it as more as me, but I'm just... I followed it a few years ago, but now I'm, like, deep into it.
Good. That's the place to be. We were...
balls deep.
Offline, we will have a private chat, and I can show you some of my UFO evidence.
Okay, I'll show you some of mine.
A lifelong, like, you know, just absolutely obsessed.
Have you read about the Mange event in Brazil?
Yes.
Dude, have you watched the video on it, like that 45-minute one?
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy. There's some crazy stuff out there. I went on a little alien road trip a couple of years ago. Went to that forest where there was a UFO sighting above a, you know, like RAF base. What the hell is the forest called? It's like North
Sherwood.
It's not far from here. It's not Forest of Dean. And there's like a statue. There's a statue of like an alien inside the forest and everything. It's great. You never heard about this?
No.
I think it was like perhaps there was Americans at this RAF base, and there was some kind of like crafts was Rendlesham Forest in a late December 1980. If you ever want to read about that, because that's very very local and very very interesting.
Okay, I will send me everything you have, man. I'll send you. Well, you probably have more than me. Okay. I want to get an Aliens Exist t-shirt.
Oh, I ever when the X-Files came back for like a mini series, I got a t-shirt that says the truth is still out there.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
Okay, rabbit hole.
Yes, this is going to devolve rapidly, and people have already turned off anyway, so it's fine.
Yeah, no, if you are still listening at this point, we want to hear you comment in the Facebook group or just send us some love on Instagram or somewhere saying aliens exist, and we'll know what you mean.
Yes, please we'll know do. That
you're with us.
Please do.
Okay, I totally vote for a special episode about aliens, though.
No, I'm down. I'm already thinking about UFO magic. Let's go.
Fuck magic, man. This is the next chapter in humanity.
that's what they want.
Yes.
Let's go.
Get the people going. All right. Well, thank you all so much for tuning in. Until next Wednesday. I've been Lloyd.
I've been Jake.
Peace.
Peace.